Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Carrie and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And, you know, we've just been discussing many things in Luke. We start in Luke 22. And, you know, Jesus showed us how to serve people in many passages. But in this one, he did that also at the Passover and the table. And he just tells us to be humble like he was, serve like he does, and love with all our heart.
Sandy, that's so beautiful and poetic.
I don't know where that came from.
We're done. We don't need to say anything else. Job. We don't need to say anything else.
Oh, we're going to go on. Luke 22, and we are going to talk about the passage. Now I can't talk. Passages 31 through 34. And I think Carrie's going to read it.
Yep. She is.
All right. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you sift like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not completely fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. Simon said, Lord, I am ready to go to jail with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, declaring that you don't even know me.
Mm. Oh my goodness, this is so heart-wrenching mm-hmm. for so many levels. Okay, one, we talked on the first radio show. Peter and John demonstrated that they were servants. They were available when Jesus said, I want you to go into the city and find the guy who's carrying a water jar. Mm-hmm. We see that they are available to serve. And we see so many times in their interactions, you know, how they're available. And yet, in his preparation of understanding the heart transformation we've been talking about, Jesus is preparing Peter for another level of heart transformation mm-hmm. he's going to ask of him. And as you were reading it just now, Carrie, I wrote down immediately, oh my goodness, you guys, repentance builds faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So Jesus says that this is happening, that your faith may not fail. Mm-hmm. I've prayed mm-hmm. that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, you're going to strengthen your brothers. But he tells them you've got to repent. And so what we have to understand is he's walked them through, this is my cup, and you're going to do this in remembrance of me. And what we talked about on the second show was that when we are about to partake in the bread and the cup, we are remembering we should not do that without repenting. And then he lets him know that he's prayed. So I've asked Sandy and Carrie to read some verses for us that show about prayer. Go ahead. Hebrews 7:25 for Carrie and Revelation 12:10 from Sandy.
Okay. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Mm. Mm. Love the intercession. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has happened at last, the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser has been thrown down to earth, the one who accused our brothers and sisters before our God day and night.
Mm. Wow. So as he's accusing, Jesus is praying. And and the word helper, when it refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper, that actual Greek word is synantilambanomai, and I taught on this, I don't know how many years ago, but it was so profound, probably 10 years ago, so profound that 17-letter word, I have never been able to forget it, because it literally means together with you, whatever is against you, I will come alongside you, and I will assist you.
That's beautiful.
And like I'm blown away. And that's what he's telling him. He's like, okay, I'm calling you to serve. I am calling you to remember me. First he tells him, remember me. You will serve like I have served. And then he says, and dude, I need to tell you, behind the scenes, you don't know this, but Satan has come to me. Mm-hmm. And he has asked for an opportune time to mm-hmm. deal with you. Now, he's doing this as the opportune time is happening against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, this morning when I was going over this, I almost started weeping. And I wrote down, oh my goodness, God, that the spiritual battle is always behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We don't know what's going on
behind
here.
The scenes. Yep. But you are praying. And it doesn't matter what the enemy has forged against us. You will be praying that my faith mm-hmm. not fail.
Right.
Because if you have done that for Peter, you will do that for me. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, God, you love us so much. But then that's not it. He doesn't want it to end with us. What does he command Peter to do?
Oh, strengthen and hold up his brothers.
Okay.
You know, and so we're going to falter, and he knows we're going to falter. Mm-hmm. This is showing us that with Peter. Good old Peter shows us the way.
Yeah, he does.
But you're right. Repented, turn back to me.
Right.
And you won't lose anything.
Right.
You know, you might just went through a little jaunt, I guess.
Right. But he doesn't focus on
no.
that.
No.
And so something I know that I can do to myself, and I see it often over and over with my people. We can have a moment where we have stumbled, mm-hmm. and we will dwell and dwell and dwell and dwell and dwell, and we will speak things that are not kind to ourselves, mm-hmm. that it's
yeah.
already been forgiven.
Yeah. Yep.
It's already been dealt with at the cross, and we have to say to ourselves, one, I just did this to one of my girls the other day, and I just looked at her and I'm, what you just said about yourself, would you say that? And I just named her best friend. She's like, oh, no, mm-hmm. I would know. No, why would you mm-hmm. even say that? And I just looked at her and I go, then why?
Do you say it about
are
yourself?
You saying it to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because that does not honor God.
No.
And so we have to make sure that we are honoring the Lord mm-hmm. with what we're doing, because he is praying for our faith. Mm-hmm. Not to fail.
Right, because it's not going to be destroyed.
Right.
You know, if we repent.
If we repent, yeah.
Ifs and buts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, always. And I love the fact that he says that, and then he prepares him. I wrote down in my notes, Jesus is such a prepper.
He is a prepper.
He is a prepper.
Because yeah. if you actually look at all his conversations with the disciples, he's constantly preparing them for something.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? Not only has Satan asked to sift you, but he tells him he's going to do it three times.
Yeah.
Where he's going to fail.
He's not believing that one.
And but he's like, you just come back to me. Return. You repent, you turn right. back, and then go strengthen everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So we have Judas who betrays. We have Peter who denies.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them repents.
Right. Exactly. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm. It is the key.
And the repentance is what removes the excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so when the opportune time comes, if we're willing to have a heart of repentance, mm-hmm. we won't be used. But if we do not have a heart of repentance and we harden our hearts, then we are used of the enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who do you want to be used by, right?
Right.
Yeah,
God
who do you
or
want
Satan?
To be exactly.
Pretty much.
That's exactly what it
yeah.
is, Sandy, mm-hmm. because the choice is that I will either be used by Christ,
right.
strengthening my brothers in Christ, or I will be used by Satan
mm-hmm.
to
destroy
the body
down.
Of mm-hmm. Christ.
That's because that's what he wants.
I know.
That's what he wants.
Oh, my goodness. It just makes my heart. But I'm so, so thankful how the Lord does this. And so as if that's not enough preparation, so he's sitting with them. He does a general, okay, everybody, here's my cup.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to partake in my cup, and I want you to remember me. And then they all, blah, 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 blah. We want to be the leader. We want to be the leader. And he's like, no, you're all called to serve. And then, so it's general. And then he zones in on Peter. Because Peter's the one that he's about to give the keys, send him out, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and have him go serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the one that will start the catalyst for the church. And then he goes again to general. So do you see how he went general? He zones in and goes very specific on an important need that's about to happen in the kingdom purposes. And then he gets general again, and that's going to take us to the next passages we're going to read in 35 through 38.
Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news and you were without money, duffel bag, or extra clothing, how did you get along? Fine, they replied. But now, he said, take a duffel bag if you have one and your money. And if you don't have a sword, better sell your clothes and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to come true. He will be condemned as a criminal. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come come true. Master, they replied, we have two swords among us. Enough, he said.
Okay. Now, all right, so what you need to know is that's enough or enough. Mm-hmm. He's not saying that that's enough with two swords. He's saying just enough. Stop, guys. Stop. Like, okay, come on. Stop.
It's not about the two swords.
Right, right. No more. That's what, and so what's funny is that depending on, I know for many years I thought it was that the two swords were enough.
That's enough. Yeah. But you read it like enough.
Yeah, and that is in the Living Bible Translation.
Because mine says that's enough.
This one is the
TLB, the Living Bible. Yeah. Which is written more in story form, mm-hmm. which is why we're using that. So that's kind of fun. But the commentators are very clear when he says that it's referencing that stop. You mm-hmm. don't need to be talking about swords. That's not what we're all about. And so do you remember when he sent them out? That's in Matthew 10 and Mark 10, when he sends them out two by twos, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he says, don't take anything with
right.
you.
Nothing. Yep.
I don't want you to have anything. I want you to go out, and you're going to minister to the people. And mm-hmm. But you need to know they're gonna reject you because they've rejected me, and you need to know that they won't listen. But what I want you to do is, as you go by your way, I want you to look for that person of peace. Mm. And when you find that person of peace, I want you actually to stay with them in their home, and I want you to disciple them and give them everything I've given you. But if you have a person who does not have peace towards what you're teaching,
shake the dust, and you go on.
And so this is what would have come up in their minds when he was saying this, and getting them ready for what's coming. So based on Acts, what do we know is about to happen to them? As to why he would want them to have things with them this time. They're not going to be where?
But they're not going to have Jesus.
Right.
For the protection that they're used to.
They're going
to
be all over the
place.
They're
everywhere. They're
scattered, moving around. Yeah.
Yeah. They end up being scattered because mm-hmm. of persecution. Once Christ is crucified and he's, you know, mm-hmm. gone, and then he comes back, they have the ascension, and he had walked for 40 days with them when he rose. All of a sudden, the persecution just explodes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what he's telling them here. Be ready.
Correct. They need to have their coat mm-hmm. and they need to have their money because they're not going to be in Jerusalem anymore. Right. They need to be ready for what's going to happen, and he's letting them know he's going to hang on a cross, which is a criminal's death. Hmm. Okay, and that he's going to be numbered with the transgressors. But it has to happen in order to fulfill his righteousness, mm-hmm. what he came for. And if you remember, the last time he talked about fulfillment of righteousness was at his baptism. Mm-hmm. He says, mm-hmm. it must be in order to fulfill righteousness now. And so he's letting them know, look, fulfillment's coming, and it needs to happen. And so that's kind of fun. I love that he cares enough that he gives them what they need. In the moment mm-hmm. that they're going to need it. I often think I want it now.
Yeah.
Because I think I need to have a bigger picture, and he really just wants us to take care of today.
One day at a time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when this is done, they've completed the meal, and then Jesus does what is his habit. And so we're going to read the next passages. We're going to start with I think it's in between 38 and 39, according to my translation. I don't know on yours.
Mine starts at 39.
39 through 46 then. Go ahead.
Then, accompanied by the disciples, he left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray God that you will not be overcome by temptation. He walked away, perhaps a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed this prayer. Father, if you are willing, please take away this cup of horror from me. But I want your will, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, for he was in such agony of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood with great drops falling to the ground as he prayed more and more earnestly. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Asleep, he said, get up. Pray God that you will not fall when you are tempted.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Twice in this he tells them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Mm-hmm. And so they had quite a night. There is a word that is repeated in this passage that he uses earlier in the supper. And Do you guys recognize the word? I'm being very non-specific. The cup.
Okay.
Talk to me about the cup. What's he say? Father, if you could
take the cup away from him.
Okay. Yeah. And what had he just told the disciples to do with the cup?
Remembrance of me.
Yeah.
Okay. I this morning as I was studying this, I was like, oh my goodness. He wants them to remember him. He's not saying that he doesn't want to have to do. He's about to take on all
the
sin.
Yeah.
So it's a separation from God.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's the cup. And so it's not that he's not willing to do it, but he's recognizing the pain he's about to bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that if there was any way that this cup could be removed. And then he begins to sweat blood. There is an actual condition that if a person is stressed enough that they will sweat blood.
Yeah.
Because your capillaries break and so your sweat comes out like blood.
When he was asking that, but God sent him an angel to strengthen him. Right. I love that.
Yeah. I love that too.
That's great.
I was thinking about that this morning and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I need an angel for strengthen me. I mean, just get through things, you know, sometimes. I know there's many angels out there that help us.
They do.
Ministering angels. And,
and when you entertain strangers, you entertain
you never
angels
know.
Unawares. Yeah. And so he did come and strengthen him, but I was overwhelmed. I had never, I don't know, on all the times I've taught this passage, I had just never caught that the cup is twice in their communication that night, and that how profound and hard and hurting he must have been, you know, when he was talking to them that I'd have desired for a long time for this meal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, Father, if there's any way, is there any way, God, you could take this cup? Because this is unbearable. Mm-hmm. And to think what he was thinking through, it just saddened my heart. But I'm very thankful for what he did and how he did it. Wow. You need to come back because next time what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to us a little bit about the opportunity, and then I'm going to summarize all the things that we can learn about Jesus from this passage that we've covered.